Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's May 24th, 2013. This is the best PokerCast ever for Ante Up Magazine. Scott's sitting here with a beer, so... he's going to do all the talking. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
This could be the best show ever, actually.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to put our impromptu skills to the test. And that's just talking to some of our passengers that listen to the show, and they're like, Scott, how do you come up with some of that quirky stuff you come up with? And I'm like, you know what? I don't like to plan too much of it. So now tonight, I'm really going to have to not plan much of it because I don't have much time.
We're going to test a lot of Scott's memory, too, because there was some stuff during the week he's like, that's going on the show. But I've forgotten what it is, and I don't think he's going to remember either. So this is going to be a great episode.
Normally, on our abbreviated cruise show, which, by the way, it is an abbreviated cruise show again. All your favorite features will be back next week. We taped it early, or recorded. I keep saying tape.
I know.
I'm trying to cure myself of
that. Get into the 21st century.
Exactly. Every time I say tape, the last three hairs on me that aren't gray turn gray. We usually record it earlier in the cruise, and now we're like down to our final moments.
I'm glad you said the last three hairs that aren't gray, because for a minute there it sounded like you just said your last three hairs, and I don't want to imagine where your last three hairs are, so I'm glad you added that phrase out of there. And it's funny, we just had a hand. We're actually stopping the play right now to do the show. I was in Ho. We're playing Hold'em Omaha.
You were in a Ho?
I was in a hoedown. And we had a straight flush beat quad nines. And then on the next hand, the guy had like quads again. He's like, I just got a straight. And then someone went flush. Right. And it was like a delay. It was hilarious.
Wow.
It's to show you how impromptu this show is. We just had one of the crew members walk in on us while we're here looking to bring in luggage. So this is certainly not planned, that's for sure. But we got some cool stuff. I actually went to Key West today. I walked. I actually went ashore twice on this trip, which I never did.
Yes.
And
branching out there.
And it was fun. Yeah, it was really hot today. And, you know, Key West is great, but going in the morning is rough because there's really nothing to do except just shop. And I'd rather go at night and see it when it's fun.
When the debauchery is at level 11, right?
Yeah, exactly. But we're on the Majesty of the Seas, the sister ship of the Monarch that we used to be on, which is now gone, decommissioned or sold or whatever. Same exact ship, but a lot of differences that we looked at were like, wow, there's some differences here.
Hey, man, we're recording the show. All right, we're all done here. Thanks.
So, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There's some more people interrupting us. We're trying to do a show. All we need is like 15 minutes.
You try to lock a door.
You just can't get anybody to stay out.
It doesn't matter.
Man, no privacy, no nothing.
Anyway, I've had that happen twice on this cruise. because here's the weird thing is that I wasn't terrifically excited about coming on the Majesty, to be honest, right?
Right,
because
it's small.
Sister ship of the Monarch. Yeah. We beat that Monarch to death, right?
Right.
And but when I got on, it had just a couple touches that were nice.
Look now, who are calling us? This is great. I can't believe it. This is unbelievable.
Just a couple touches that I thought were nicer. They have a steam room here, which I was excited about.
That's right.
Adele and Johnny Rockets, which totally killed my diet. But it the awkward thing was in my room, you know, that little do not disturb card that you put in the key at night?
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out where you hold it in the room when you, I guess, want to be disturbed or trying not to be disturbed. You know what I mean? When
so
it's not in,
when it's not in the thing, you don't have the little boxy thing?
I do.
Oh.
It took me forever to find it, right? So
wait, how did you not find the box? Because to find the card, you had to have found the box.
But it
originally.
Wasn't there. It was it was on top of my safe, right?
Oh, that's
so
weird.
That's where I thought it had to go. So I kept putting it there. And I think at some point, my very good cabin steward, Katatu, I think his name is.
Okay.
I think, took it from where I was storing it and put it in its proper place in the little thing, right?
And you couldn't find it.
And I couldn't find it. So twice this trip, I was in bed sleeping, and I'm like, in here.
Housekeeping.
Occupied.
Housekeeping.
And then I finally had to get up and open the door, and oh, here you go. And it's more of this food they keep bringing me.
They keep bringing your food. Me too. It's champagne and everything. It's crazy.
You know, because there's a huge starvation problem on a cruise ship, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no place to find food.
No.
Anywhere. That they have to bring it to your stateroom and just shove it down your gullet.
And yet we still eat it.
Absolutely.
But I was finally on the Scott Long comp plan, where I actually got some stuff sent to my room. You know, Scott's not the only one who works for Andy Up. So it was nice. A few bottles of champagne, some fruit. Dipped in chocolate, some petit fours, which I, of course, called petite fours. I didn't know
petite
what the hell
is
I was.
Much better, I think. Yes.
I didn't know what the hell they were.
They're very petite.
Got a dozen red roses. Man, my room was smelling sweet.
Yeah, so. I thought about walking around and just handing roses out to select women, like I'm on The Bachelor.
Oh my God! Will you accept this rose?
Exactly. That's what I was going to do.
You should have done it.
I still got time, I guess.
Yeah, you do it tonight at the after party.
Absolutely.
So Scott's already drunk.
Not true.
Beer and champagne. And
I am two sheets to the wind.
He's two sheets
not
to the wind.
Not the full four yet.
Soon to be four. but it's been a pretty good week. We had our main event, and we'll be featuring that in the magazine. Scott and I got into a nice big pot. He won a huge pot off of me.
Unreal.
Yeah, it was unreal. I had a lot of outs on him. But
unreal.
It was weird that it went 10-10 like that. We were playing PLO, yes. Which we played a lot of PLO this week.
Yes.
Which we almost
See,
never
See, every
do.
Cruise is different,
yeah,
isn't it? We never
really
know
is.
What we're going to get until we get on here.
And we even had PLO part of our home mix. Instead of Omaha 8, we made it PLO. And that's when Scott says, chips, and they give him an extra 100. And I said, chips, and give me an extra 100. And like two hands in, I have an open and a straight draw, a flush draw, and a pair. Scott has pocket aces and a nut flush draw, I think. Did you have nut flush draw?
I did, yes.
Yeah. So I had the second nut flush draw. We get it all in. It goes 10-10 for a full house.
A very odd finish to the hand, but
so
I was
like,
quite
here,
happy.
Scott, let me double you up. And then after that, I went out on our pro on the ship, Walt Strakowski. I got it in with two pair, and he had a wheel already. I needed to board a pair. It didn't happen. And I was broke, just like that. Not a good week for me.
Yeah, and today I was hanging out with the dealers, as I often do in port, and they're like, Scott, how did that game become limit hold'em, 3-6 limit hold'em, 1-2 PLO, and then 3-6
stud 8?
And I'm like, two words.
Chris Cosenza.
And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, Chris Cosenza does not like playing Omaha 8, so I'm sure he was like, what can I do to get rid of this? They're not going to let me not play Omaha. What can I play that I think I might be able to substitute? Hey, what about PLO? We've already been playing that.
Yeah.
And everybody took it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. And I get what I asked for, and of course I lose all my money. So that was not a good thing. I should have stuck with Omaha 8 because I can only lose my money 6 or 12 at a time rather than 118 at a time. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Like right now, I'm in the middle of a game where we're playing Ho, but instead... the hold'em is gone.
Right.
And it's Omaha 8, Omaha High. And the Omaha 8 is a full kill, 3-6.
Very nice.
And then stud 8. So we're mixing that game up because we have a lot of players that, or we have that core group of players who will play pretty much anything.
Right.
So we're having fun with them. We got a 1-2, 1-3, and a 2-5 going right now. What's really funny to me is that this cruise was supposed to be all about sit and goes.
Right.
We've had, like, two.
Four.
Or we've had four.
But still.
But still, it's just like, that's what we thought was going to happen. We're going to sit and goes all week, and we got four, which is, like,
happen.
The least amount we've ever had.
Just can never predict this stuff.
Can't figure this game poker out, man. It's just unbelievable. You know, you get a lot of people showing up, and you think, oh, you got all these bodies. They're all going to want to play sit and goes. And all of a sudden, it's just cash games. It's just crazy. So, not a lot of hands, really, to talk about or things like that for me.
I flopped a straight flush.
You
had
flush.
Quads, right?
I had quads. And then somebody had straight flush tonight against quads, which would have been a bad beat, like, if we paid. And I'm tired of people asking me that. Do I get, you know, do they make a high
this
hand?
This is a bad beat crowd.
Do I get a free cruise? Do I? Oh, please. Yeah. Please, guys. Cut it out. But, yeah, it was, we're still in the middle of it. We still have about another hour or so of play before we have to wrap up the table.
I feel like it's New Year's Eve. We got an hour left. We're doing the show. We're pouring champagne for our guests.
That's right. Scott's walking around the room with classy champagne and pouring it into plastic cups. It's like redneck city here. Actually, no, because they wouldn't have champagne. But the trip down was interesting. I was free rolling. I get Scott to drive the truck down. That was a lot of fun. I didn't have to drive it down, but I had to drive it to the port. And we did how many laps around the port of Miami before we figured out where we had to go?
It was probably 73, I think.
And it's the port of Miami, but we somehow parked in North Carolina because the truck is so far away from the port. I mean, I was exhausted by the time we got there, and you're telling me I'm whining. You were tired, too.
I was tired, too, but, you know, you got to trudge through. I have a little bit more tolerance for pain than I think you do.
I could never give birth. How about that? Let's just say that. But you know what? You're getting a lot of compliments this week on your weight loss.
Thank you.
Yep. There are a lot of people who are, everybody notices it. But the cool thing for me was I'm known as the skinny Chris on this cruise.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? We have a dealer on here. His name's Chris. And he's a little heavier than me. Well, maybe a lot heavier. And there's a young man here. He's the grandson of one of our players.
Yes, grandson and nephew.
And nephew of one of our players. And he's a great kid. And he's been, like, hanging out in the poker room watching everybody play poker. And he's hooked on to this dealer, Chris. They've been kind of tight and stuff. And so he goes in and sees, I guess, one of our other dealers, Brent. And he's like, have you seen Chris? And he's like, yeah, I know Chris. And he's like, no, not the skinny Chris. And it's the first time in 42 years that I've been ever called skinny, ever. Chris. Maybe my mom said I was skinny once when I was trying to lose weight. It's trying to make me feel good. But really, no one has ever called me skinny. So that made losing money all week all worth it, I got to tell you. Because I have not been playing well at the tables at all. I'm up and down. I keep going up and down. If I didn't lose that PLO hand to you, I think I'd be even. But
yeah, I was up until I decided that after being up till 5:30 a.m. that it was an excellent idea to get in the 10 a.m. multi-table tournament. And an even better idea to re-enter when I got eliminated and do the $20 last longer with a bunch of other players. Not once, but both times. So there went all my profits from the PLO game early on, and now I'm pretty sure I'm stuck.
You were doing well in that PLO. I think you're comfortable now with it.
You know, I guess that's the really cool thing about this cruise is that I feel like I'm comfortable. I'm not excited about playing some of these games, but I'm comfortable playing anything that comes up. Because you know, part of our job here is to help, almost like we're prop players.
Right,
you know,
help get games started.
Jump into games, get them going, and then if we need to be moved to somewhere else, we move somewhere else.
Right, jump out if you want.
And this is definitely the first cruise that I felt comfortable. I mean, I was even telling them, put me in the 2-5, no limit. I didn't want to go there, but I'm like, put me in, I'm sure I could do it. But the PLO was fun. I'm glad we got that going.
Yep. I played it twice with you, and then we had it once with that Ho game. So I played it 3 times overall, and it was cool. I mean, it's a different game than the home game PLO.
Oh, absolutely.
When we play home game PLO, we play quarter-quarter.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, so the pots get big, but 1-2, man. And then you got guys straddling with the 5. All of a sudden, you're like, 2 calls with a 5, and then you go pot it. It's like, all of a sudden, you're betting 50.
Yeah. Those pots were almost always 100-plus.
100-plus all-ins and stuff. It was crazy. But I'm glad that we've developed that way now, you know. Feel comfortable. What's weird is that we don't play enough in the home game, I think, because I still get nervous playing on our cruises for the first couple of days, and then I'm comfortable.
Hmm.
And I think I need to start playing. We have to have more home games. You hear that, Gambit? Hear that, Faso? More home games. Or I'm going to say, won't you host one? But, you know, I don't want those people in my house. So anyway,
I had an interesting conversation with one of our passengers tonight too. He's a limit player like I am, and came on. And I remember the first couple of days he came in, and he was the only one sitting at the limit table while we're trying to get it going. And finally, got exasperated and left, and then kept coming back to see if we get going. And unfortunately, just never got it going because it's just hard to get limit going anymore these days.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I saw him playing no limit, and then tonight I sat in his no limit table, and he's like, Scott, I got to tell you, the one great thing about this cruise is I've learned to play no limit. I feel comfortable in this game now.
That's good.
He's like, I've never played it before. And obviously, I don't think I know what I'm doing completely, but I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun, and it's a completely different game. And I'm like, you know, hey, I hear you. I don't like it, but I was forced to learn to like it because it's just hard to find limit anymore. And
that's what I was going to say earlier, is all the more reason, guys, to learn more than one game. It's very frustrating when you can't play your game. You know, you should learn to play other games. Action begets action, and, you know, if you want to enjoy yourself, you got to have another game, because just one game, one trick pony is not enough. You know, and you know what, too? One of the games, one of the nights, we didn't even get our 1-3 game died.
Yeah.
You know, so it was only 2-5 and then Ho. So
Very weird, Chris.
You know, you would think that 1-3 would have 15 1-3 games going, but we had no 1-3 going at one time. And so you really got to learn to expand your repertoire of poker to really get along. So, but Walt was here, Walt Strakowski, our pro, and he had a really good sit-and-go strategy course. And you attended it. I had a date with Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Sorry, I had to watch Jack Reacher. Since I don't play sit-and-goes, I felt I could miss it. But you wanted to...
I don't think anybody said that since Katie Holmes.
Well, I'm the person that the Scientologists are interviewing to see if it's okay.
I've noticed you're wearing a lot of blue lately.
Yeah, I was wondering if I can date him or not. So, but I liked Jack Reacher. That's surprising, I'm sure, to everyone's ears. But I did like the movie. So anyway, you went to Walt's course.
Yeah.
Highlights that you
wanted? Yeah, he had a couple dozen people. And I was really excited about getting Walt on because, for a couple reasons. One, we call him our onboard professional. He's a really talented player, but he's not truly a professional. He's got a day job like the rest of us.
Right, right.
And I think that makes it easier for him to relate to the cruise passengers in general.
And he plays with most of them because a lot of them came from his home room.
Exactly, absolutely. So I was looking forward to that, and then I was also looking forward to the fact that, you know, I told him, you know, hey, we've got an extra port stop on this cruise. While we're only going to have one multi-table tournament, we're really going to push sit and goes. I think it'd be good if you talked about sit and goes. And particularly because that's what he does.
That's his thing, yeah.
Yeah, he travels a lot, and when he does travel, he goes to the big tournaments, and he doesn't necessarily play the big tournaments, but he goes and grinds the sit-and-goes at them.
Right.
And had great conversations with him at dinner this week, but, you know, he essentially goes and grinds a bunch of them, builds up enough money that he thinks he wants to take home, and then after that he grinds and then actually catches the Lammers in to play the big event and hope he gets a big score. Very interesting strategy, and I told him I thought I might even do that at Vegas this year instead of playing some of the other events. I might just go and try, because I love sit
and
goes.
And you always do well in a week. I know you do well on them on the cruise,
yeah.
So you probably will do well in the
Vegas.
I
totally miss
them
online.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, you know, come on and do a two-hour class just on sit and goes, because it's something that people just aren't playing much these days.
Right.
Because rooms just don't spread them. He has to go to the big events, but... But, yeah, he did a very good job on the syllabus. I thought the class went well. He got a ton of questions from people. And I thought some of the interesting things were at some point one of our players asked him, hey, would you ever limp with aces in a cash game? And he gave a pretty good answer and explained it. And then I kind of piped in and said, that's why I think poker is so cool.
Yeah.
Is because would you ever limp in with aces in a cash game? If you leave out the in a cash game, you're going to get three different answers.
Right.
We talked about that in the class, and I think we had a good back and forth with some other of our guests in that, you know, in a cash game, probably not, because, somebody goes broke, they just reach in their pocket and pull out more chips. It's a little different. In a multi-table tournament, a little more freedom, but at the same time, once you run out of chips, you're gone, so you can't really reach into your pocket, but you're probably decently stacked that you don't have to worry about that. In a single table tournament, and this was the big thing that Walt kept pushing people, is you got to remember you're not starting with a lot of chips. Every single chip in a sit and go is hugely valuable.
Yeah.
So you can't splash around like you would in a multi-table. He's like, you know, you might play some suited connectors in a multi-table tournament. Can't do that in a sit and go. Your chips are just too valuable to speculate on that. So, you know, his big things were early in the tournament, at least the first level, first couple levels, he plays nothing but totally premium hands. Aces, kings, queens, ace, king.
Right, right.
It's pretty much it. He says those first couple levels, he is focusing on learning his players. And that came back a little bit later, too, because we talked about, we had some questions about table image. And we had a good discussion about how, you know, when you're in a multi-table tournament, you've got people coming in and out of the table. So it's a little different. In a single-table tournament, you're playing with these same people until it's done.
Yeah.
So you don't have a lot of time to really cultivate that table image and then exploit it. So it's almost something like, you know, it's gravy if you can make it work. But you shouldn't focus on it necessarily like some of these other folks do. So so he said, you know, early on, he just plays premium, learns the players that he's at his table, because you don't have to worry about somebody coming in. So once you learn everybody,
or
at
the
table
breaking or whatever.
Absolutely. Right. Then at that point, then you can be really effective in the later rounds.
Did he say anything about the fact, though, that a sit and go ends a lot faster than multi, so you don't have enough time to get used to those people. So that's another reason why you wouldn't
remember
the aces,
because
you don't know
too.
If they're going to be aggressive or something.
Yeah, I mean, you got to consider a lot of things, he said. I mean, one, you know, is the time of the levels. And he gave us a little pat in the back if he thought our sit and goes that we offer on the cruise
really generous,
really
right?
good value. But, you know, understanding that, you know, think about it in terms of most of them, you're starting with 1,500 units, sometimes even less.
Yeah,
so at that
1,000.
Point, there's only 15,000 ships in play in general.
Right.
And then you got, I thought the most fascinating thing, and this is the thing that I've always focused on in playing sit and goes, is when you get down to like four-handed, at that point, You know, in these big multi-table tournaments, we talk about winning. You want to win because that's where the big money is.
Right.
You don't want to try to cash.
Right.
Single-table tournaments is a different mentality. You know, if you're going to grind a bunch of them, you need to cash in a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And if you win a couple, that's great, but you really want to cash. I mean,
right, because even
place,
winning
nothing.
Them isn't that much money.
Exactly. So then once you break that bubble and then you're in third place, you're generally talking about a 10% bump between third and second, but a much bigger bump between third and first, and that's the time that you want to swing for the fences and go for the home run.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But up until then, you're really trying to get into the money. And I remember this from playing online a lot, and really thinking that some of my opponents' play was very interesting because I don't think at a single table that you really need to accumulate chips early. It's nice, obviously, I mean, don't get me wrong, but at some point, those chips, everybody has roughly the same amount, you know, and we talked about you have 15,000, let's use the example, you have 10-handed, 1,500 start, you got 15,000 units.
Right.
You get down to, like, even four-handed, maybe it's 6-4-3-2. You know, at that point, if you're the small stack and you double up through somebody, now you're not the small stack anymore, and you're right really pretty close to the chip leader at that point.
Right.
And if you triple up, then you're ahead. So, and if you are the chip leader in that example and you try to get all John Wayne Cowboy on the small stack and lose, then guess what?
Yeah.
Now you become an equal stack with two other players at the table and somebody else becomes the chip leader. So your chips remain so valuable throughout the entire single table tournament. And I think that's what people don't really quite grasp, and I certainly got that from the questions in the class, that, you know, people are so fixated on reading books that are general in poker knowledge. You know, they don't specifically talk about different situations.
Right.
That they kind of treat the single table just like they would a multi-table tournament, a cash game, and just can't do it.
Can't do that. So that's three answers to the Limpin Aces. It's pretty interesting. And he talked a little bit about that at dinner as well, and that was nice, too. We got to have dinner with him and his family, and a bunch of our other players are our ambassadors from Atlantic City, Joe Kim, and then Philip Dobrikin from the Pacific Northwest, but he's up in Canada, actually. He was here. We've been to his ear a lot. And then another listener, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Had a blast with him in Key West today.
Yeah, Jim, he's a longtime listener. He's from Canada as well. And I love that when listeners come in. We had a couple other listeners from Jersey here as well. I never know the listeners are coming, even though, like, now, I don't know if people know this, but my wife now is starting to take over some of the cruise stuff. She's doing some of the bookings and everything, and she's telling me the names and stuff, but I don't know the names of our listeners. I know most of
our
nicknames.
Or if we know them, they know them, exactly.
Yeah.
From
and I'm not telling
handles.
My wife or you that they're a listener and they're coming. You know, it's like, so when you get them on the show, I'm sitting there next to Jim, we're playing 1-3 No Limit, and he's like, Chris, I'm Jim. I'm like, hey, Jim. I shook his hand. He goes, long time listener to the show, man. Love the show. I'm like, really? And I'm always surprised by that. You know, I'm always excited that we're getting some of the listeners to the show. So I much appreciate that he was here this week. And all of them, of course. And I got to play with every one of them.
Yeah.
And had a real good time with all of them.
And even tonight, just an hour ago, I was talking to a player I haven't had a chance to play with. And he was like, oh, man, that show last week where you're talking about Doyle Brunton, where he's talking about playing the seniors event. And I'm like, I had no idea.
No idea.
This
all
gentleman
week.
Was a listener.
Yeah, all week.
That was great, but I enjoyed hanging out with Jim today in Key West. We had a lot of fun. We just happened to bump into us at Sloppy Joe's and sat down at the bar stool, and we just talked forever about, again, one of those guys that I believe he drives a Greyhound, and he's like, I put the Bluetooth in, and I just listen to you guys, and it makes me get to where I'm going a little quicker.
Very cool.
And then we just dragged him around town with and introduced him to Peer Pong and just had a really, really good time with the listeners. And of course, I love the Canadian listeners too, because I always like the Buster Balls as much as I can about Canada. And, and even today I was asking Jim, because a couple cruises ago, Nuance was on, and his beautiful wife that we've kept in touch with, and hopefully we'll see them again. But and on that cruise, I was like, all right, so what's the deal with this Boxing Day? And they couldn't really answer. So today I was asking Jim, and I'm like, all right, Boxing Day. And he's like, you know what? I don't really know what that is either. And I'm like, so this, now I know what it is. I'm like, he's like, oh, so you guys don't really have that? And I'm like, well, we do. It's just like a month earlier. It's like our Black Friday. And he's like, oh, that's kind of cool. But anytime I get a chance to make fun of my my Canadian counterparts, I do. Because they're so fun. I just enjoy really talking to them. And they're always the most fun people I meet. So
I don't think it's very fair. You got to go to Key West and hook up with Jim. I went to Key West. And
I did not hook up with Jim.
Well, you got to hang out with him.
Let's keep the record straight here. I'm on the straight and narrow without my wife. So
I ran into a rooster. That's not the same. I'm out there, and there are two roosters in the street following me. I'm like, what is this? So I took pictures of them while I was out there. It was hilarious. It was like the only good thing about Key West for me, other than, you know, see, I saw a lot of my old stomping grounds, because I went to Key West before a couple times with my wife when I was younger, and got to see where we had dinner the first time we took vacation together and stuff. So that was kind of cool. And the museum was there and everything. But, yeah, I saw roosters, and you see listeners and you know, cruisers. So,
you know, I thought I was back in high school today at Key West because we were at Sloppy Joe's having some drinks. That part's not from high school.
Oh, no.
I started drinking much later.
Much earlier.
So we're there. We're asking the bartender, where should we go? We were just going to hit a couple bars, you know, because that's what you do in Key West if you're not running into roosters.
Right.
And she's like, oh, you need to go to Dante's. That's great. Tell him Brooke said hi. We're like, all right, we'll do that. And she's like, and then came back a little bit later. She's like, you know, right down the street is Garden of Eden. And we're like, oh, what's that? She's like, it's a clothing optional bar.
Oh, no.
And that's exactly, I'm like, oh, interesting. And everybody's like, that is so cool. We're totally going there. And I'm looking around, I'm like, really? I mean, this is all of our staff. I don't think any of us want to see any less than what we already have on, right?
Yes, you've already seen our staff.
So I thought everybody's joking, right? So then we walk out, and we're going to the next bar in the crawl, and they're like, all right, Scott, you're the captain. Choose where we're going. Are you going to go to the Garden of Eden? Or I'm like, I am not making that choice. And they're like, so everybody's like, Garden of Eden. And I'm like, are we seriously going to go to this thing? And we did, and just like in high school, we walk up there, and everybody just was like, you know, giggly. And of course, there's nobody up there
naked
that has anything less than full clothing on.
We can say naked. It's
exactly.
Right.
And then we're naked. Just sitting around and
alfresco.
It was kind of hilarious. I was looking around. I'm like, we're a bunch of like 7 year olds up here hoping that there's
naked
some
people.
Maybe we'll see some boobies. and of course, there's no boobies. So we're just overpaying for beer now. But
that was my favorite shirt today. Instead of Hello Kitty.
Yeah.
It was something that rhymes with kitty, and it was these two boobs on the shirt, and I was like, oh, my God. And the boobs looked like Hello Kitty, but they were boobs. I was like, oh, my God, these shirts are hilarious. That's one of the best parts, seeing the shirts that they come
up with. Three for $10.
That's right.
And every port we go to.
But, no, it was a good week, and, of course, we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming next week. Scott's going to Downstream, and I get the pleasure of driving the truck home from Miami and unloading the truck by myself.
And it is a pleasure.
I have no idea how I'm getting home, by the way, either. I'm going to put it into my phone, hope I can get to 595 and then get to the Alligator Alley and get home. But we'll see. If I don't come on the show next week, you'll know why. Because some alligator ate me when I went up the highway and into the creek. But all right, so Scott, have a safe trip. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.